What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, March 5th, 2019. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Forbes 30 Under 30, a.k.a. the second best baby blues in San Francisco, a.k.a. the engaged one, at Tim Geddes.
Let Tim host.
How you doing?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
Good.
Oh, yeah.
Why like that?
There's a lot of fun stuff going on in life.
Isn't there always?
There always is.
When's the wedding? Did we pick a date yet?
No,
we got the date. Is it tomorrow?
No,
when are we doing? Is it the weekend? Bear Bear?
Tomorrow.
Bear Bear, you ready to go to a wedding?
Yeah, dude.
All right, let's go to a wedding,
Timmy. It was Fantasy Suites last night in Bachelorette.
It was
he
what?
He finally
now?
Jumped the fence.
It was who?
It was a crazy adventure, Greg. You
why
will never
did
understand.
Jump the fence?
Wait, there was something about
I'll
the fence.
I'll have to explain you later.
Because this explains why Josh McCouga tweeted something about fences and his wife yelling fence. And I was like, I don't understand this.
Texting McCouga every Monday, one of my favorite pastimes now.
Yeah.
It's just fantastic.
Oh, okay. Well, if you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is one of my favorite pastimes, Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Patreon.com/KindaFunnyGames with your questions, comments, bad PSN names, everything else under the video game sun. Then you can tune in, watch us record it live on twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames. If you're watching live, you have a special job to do. Go to KindaFunny.com/YoureWrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and roosterteeth.com, as well as everybody listening on podcast services around the globe. Printer still broken. New printer still in the box.
Still in that box.
Wasn't here all afternoon. Don't know what you people
Biggity
do when
box.
I leave the room. I don't know how Kevin can't find 10 minutes to put a new printer in, but whatever. I digress.
Damn.
Top stories today. Anthem is still crashing. Control information is coming, and we got lots of reader mail. But first, let me tell you about housekeeping. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Tom Bach and Blackjack. They went to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, supported us there, just like you can, to get on the show and get the show ad-free as an MP3 or video, if that's what you like. And then today, we're brought to you by Brooklyn Inn and Headspace, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. That one sounds painful. It's time for some news. Damn, that's a painful one, Bear Bear. Three items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Okay, that's better. Jeez. His are like a machine gun.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like
a
painful. A neon. Not neon. High pitched.
Let's go with
when
neon.
When I see the color neon, I think of a high pitched tone.
You can see colors?
Yeah. What?
Damn.
Wait, that confused me.
You need to sleep more, buddy.
I do.
Number one on the Roper Report at the end of the show. Or not even at the end. At the end of the Roper Report yesterday, this was breaking. We read it from Jason Schreier. A lot of people got mad at us. Anthem crashing PlayStation 4s is a thing. EA put out this statement. This is a tweet. We're aware of a crashing issue some of you have been reporting for Anthem Game. We're investigating and ask that you share your crash data reports when prompted. If you have, we'll be reaching out to gather info. If not, please reply to this thread on Anthem HQ, which is over on the message boards or whatever. I checked that out before we went live with this. Right now, it's got a little over 1,000 responses there.
Kotaku has an update that seems to have just happened.
Sure.
Saying,
of course.
Workaround for the PS4s that no longer turn on after shutting down while running Anthem has been shared on Reddit, which was able to get one person who reached out to us to get their console working again. The method requires booting the console in safe mode by holding down the power button for several seconds until you hear two beeps. From there, players need to select the option labeled Rebuild Database. When that process is complete, the PS4 should be working again. We have updated the headline for this article to reflect that it no longer appears that Anthem is breaking some consoles, but rather causing software issues that can still be fixed by operating them in safe mode.
Yeah, Jason Schreier tweeted that out today from the Reddit. I want to bring in a question from Chance Carter, a.k.a. at Dirty Double C. Double C on
double
Twitter.
C.
Sometimes it cuts things off when I do the thing, so I didn't know. Dirty Double C on Twitter, who writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, am I wrong in thinking the consensus that Anthem Bricks Games, he means PlayStation 4, is a little premature. Polygon and IGN have reported that some players have had their console bricked. The only story I can find is that one COD Special Edition PlayStation 4, no others. This is where I think yesterday Andrew and I were talking one way, people were hearing another way, we were reading the story as it happened live, yada, 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 that we got off track a lot. Originally, when I read the story as we were reading it, I was thinking this is just your normal blue screen. Of, oh, cool. Then as we read through the article, oh, no, this is taking you off as if you unplug the power, and then you put it back in, and it does the rebuilding database.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was, no, it's bricking consoles where it can't turn it back on. And that's where there's nomenclature being thrown around that I don't think is helping the argument or what's going on, right? Last night, my PlayStation 4, after playing an hour, hour and a half of Anthem, crashed. But it did that, not the brick where I can't turn it back on. It did the, you've pulled the power out. The power is a cycle, you know, like when you're playing games and the power goes out. And so then I, I had to get up, turn the PlayStation 4 back on. What sucks the most about this is that I was literally turning it off. Played an hour, hour and a half, and I'm like, time for bed. Quit to the XMB that I still call it. I was like, I'm going to close the app. Close the app. Boom. Ah, fuck. Right. God damn it. You know what I mean? Like, God damn it. Turned it back on just to sync my controllers.
Console gaming,
turn it
am I right?
I know, right? Jeff. I'll take it. I'll take it. Jeff Grubb, if you want to see that. I tweeted out the image last night of the, I got Anthemed or whatever. And then Jeff Grubb from VentureBeat had a great response where he was like, seems like this never happens on. And then he came back with a second tweet. He's like, PC gaming. Sorry, I had to update my drivers. And I was like, fuck yeah. Good job. Really that was good job, Jeff.
That's great.
Right. So to Chance Carter's thing, who knows anymore what's happening? Clearly, I saw, after I put out the tweet last night that I got Anthemed, obviously I started getting included in a bunch of different threads of people like getting into petty video game arguments and things like that. Where, again, you know how this is. You know, we're no longer just fanboys about Sega or Nintendo, right? It is very much that we have to be fanboys and shut our eyes about everything as we talk about anything. Yeah. And so it was that, like, this one guy who likes Anthem talking about it, crashing systems, another guy who likes Anthem coming in, there's no way it's Anthem, it's your system. And it was like, all right, guys, clearly no, this is an Anthem problem. There's something wrong with Anthem.
And I think to go back to this of, like, is it news? I think it's news, definitely. I think that it's important that sites report on this type of thing to let people know what might be happening to their system before it happens to their system. So the same thing happened with Smash Brothers when they added the Piranha Plant.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Like a month ago, where it was like it was breaking systems if you used the plant in All-Star mode, very specific things. But still, it was breaking consoles. Like, that is a problem that needs to be fixed. It needs to be talked about so people know, and then it needs to be fixed.
When we're talking about bricking I remember this happening.
That was deleting save files. But like,
okay, I'm just trying. This is my thing.
You're right. In terms of like using the correct words, game breaking situations. Right. Yeah, whatever they are, whether it's deleting your save files or breaking your system or even just doing the hard shutdown. It's like that's dangerous for your console that could 100%. Lead to bricking it.
Oh,
right?
Sure. Yeah. 100%.
Like all of this is not acceptable at all.
Right.
But they're all working on it. I think the difference between Anthem and Smash Brothers is that there is a hate brigade against Anthem. So that news gets turned into ammo fuck this shit.
Yeah.
Where Smash Bros., that didn't happen. It was more like, damn, this sucks. And it was more like, hey, guys, be careful. Don't do this. Don't get your save files erased. And it's like, it's an unfortunate place to be right now where there is such vitriol being thrown around in a very fanboy way when there is legitimate news being reported about these things that are going to affect potentially thousands of people.
Yeah.
Like, so if I'm understanding this correctly, like here Chance Carter saying there's only one Call of Duty Special Edition PS4 that he knows of.
That's when we were talking on the original report from Kotaku yesterday with Schreier. That was the one console. It was like, hey, mine won't turn back on. It's dead.
On the Reddit of the 1,000 replies or wherever that was, the EA thing, are there thousands of PS4s being bricked?
I did not page through everything. Yeah. I did very much like
that. Has more than one been bricked, or is it just doing the hard reset thing, which is still a fucking problem?
Sure. Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Do a live look for me, everybody. I can't run the show and look into that information for you. That'd be helpful for me if you don't mind looking at that EA thread and telling me what you're finding there. Because it is that, when my PlayStation turned back on, it did what EA's talking about here, right? Where it was like, please file the report in your game and say, because it came back to the blue screen, and it's usually, if you turn your PlayStation off, right, it does the thing where it turns, when it does lock up and you can't turn it off, you unplug the back of it or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's in rest mode and you unplug it and move it. Usually it comes back on, right? It's like, dee, dee, dee. You unplugged me the wrong way, asshole. Fuck you.
Like, bro.
This one did
go. On a computer.
It came back on and it rebuilt the database, but then it went immediately to a blue screen that was like,
for you?
Yeah. Hey, something went wrong. Submit your information kind of thing.
Gotcha.
So that is what they're talking about, right? Where we're investigating and ask that you share your crash data reports when prompted. So I did get a crash data outside of the normal. Why the fuck did you unplug me, bro? Like, you know what I mean? It knew something was happening.
Yeah.
You bring in the hate brigade. I want to bring in Jeff from patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. I'll get right to it. There seems to be more backlash from your kind of funny discussions of Anthem. From what I've understood, they seem upset that you liked it or weren't critical enough. I don't quite get it. I held off on Anthem specifically because of you guys. You painted a very clear picture of what I'd get. Even though you enjoyed it, I knew it wasn't for me. I've been listening to you, Greg, since Beyond, and was there for the beginning of Kind of Funny, supporting in whatever way I could. I know what games I agree with you on and what games I don't. And that's true for a lot of the Kind of Funny Games daily contributors. If video games are art, which they are, i.e. God of War, then why don't fans treat them the same? Everyone doesn't have to agree certain art is good. If it is art, then people not agreeing is the best part. Like a great book or great movie, everyone gets something slightly different from the experience. That's true for the not so great as well. We all have our favorite not so good movies and music too. I guess what I'm asking is, where's all the anger coming from? Is it as simple as they dared to say positive things about EA? I've seen a lot of dogpiling on EA for real. I've got to admit something. They may get me banned from the internet. I enjoyed and still play Battlefront. It's gotten slash is getting better. Always loved slash still play Battlefield. And I even liked Andromeda. I feel like an outcast for liking these things despite their flaws, even in the subreddits. I'm tired of it being cool to hate EA. I'm generally tired of it being cool to hate. If you don't like something, get out of the way and let people enjoy what they enjoy. They are just video games. Thanks for reading the question, and much love to all the kind of funny and best friends out there. You brought this up in the last one, right? That I think this for me reminds me the crash problem, right? And the way it's being reported on, and the way that I think so many people are interpreting it of it's brick. Your PlayStation 4 is going to be broken, mm-hmm. right? Like even when I put up my rebuilding database thing yesterday, responses to it were like, you read the news, you knew it could ruin your console. And then of course haters came in like, oh shoot, we'll just send them another PS4. And it's like, well, no, again, it wasn't, I don't feel like there's a giant risk of your console being hard locked forever. I think the risk is that it's going to do. And I wanted to play Anthem yesterday, and I also wanted to see if it would happen to me, and it did, right? Anyways, throw that out. The way people are dogpiling on, like, yeah, look at this thing, is so reminiscent of everything with Fallout 76. Right, we remember when Fallout 76 and the canvas bag and the updates to lockpicking, yada, 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 where people just wanted to continue to beat this body in the streets. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the same thing here. And I think part of it rings, there's a million different reasons for it. And I think everybody has their own different reasoning for it in the way that I think you said it when we were originally discussing Anthem, I think, right? That like, and I was like, I'm having fun with it. You know what I mean? I agree with Fran in the reviews. It's somewhere between a 6 and a 7. It's fine, whatever. And you're like, well, that's not fine. That's not whatever, right? Like, all 7s aren't created equal, I believe you said, right? Yeah. And this is a AAA game from EA and BioWare. Which, and like,
who have some... Sorry, you can...
No, you're doing it.
They have something to prove. And it's like, this whole thing is truly flabbergasting to me, like seeing the way that a lot of people are talking about Anthem, also talking about us and talking about the way we have been handling it. And like, I've been really trying to look into the Facebook group and the Reddit and the comments of the YouTube videos and like try to find the actual criticism of us and like try to figure out a way to address it. Mm-hmm. And really to me, it all comes down to, you'd be surprised, communication, where it's like, I just feel like there is a breakdown somewhere where it's so hard to look at any situation, whether it's reviewing a video game, talking about video game news, or nothing to do with video games at all. But it's so much easier to fall into one side or the other instead of realizing that there's different groups. And I feel like you have your argument that you believe in, your opinion. Argument's not even the right word. You have your own opinion. And when other people have different opinions, you kind of lump them into the them. Mm-hmm. It's them and it's us, and it's like there is no other options. And it gets very weird and complicated quickly when, you know, we're talking about the haters and the people that are critical of Anthem and are legitimately upset at EA because they want more from EA and deserve more from EA based on what EA has given them and BioWare has given them in the past.
Those aren't haters.
But that's my thing.
I'm jumping to your point here.
And
right?
I feel like they... group is hearing what we are saying, what others are saying, and are feeling like when we're saying haters, we're talking about them.
No. This is very much, it always reminds me of when we started Kind of Funny, right? And all the growing pains we've gone through in 4 years. And we would talk about people who are being negative and being trolls about it, right? And people would be like, I'm just telling you how to improve what I want. And I'm like, no. You're allowed to say, you don't like how much I say this one word. You're allowed to say that you wish we did this, or blah, blah, blah. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about the people who are like, fuck these guys. They're fucking idiots. I'm going to come in and say blah, 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 blah. That's a hater, right? Being critical of both Anthem and then how we talk about Anthem is a completely different thing. And I don't mind that discussion at all. I encourage that on both sides of it, right?
Yeah.
And so that's the thing, even for Jeff here. I don't think Jeff is saying that, hey, everybody who doesn't agree with Greg, Fran, Andrea, Tim, and Andy about like what happened on the Gamescast and how they talked about Anthem, they're all haters. No, not at all. Like, obviously, mm-hmm. that's what's so great about video games is that everybody gets something out, and art in general is that somebody else gets it out, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, this is a huge, complex, multi-layered onion of a issue we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, like I feel, you know, we talked about, you said it yesterday. I did the shows this in the morning, then ran to a secret thing. On my way to the secret thing out the door, you're like, I can't believe like the response we're getting to this episode about reviews and about
episodes. It hasn't just been Franz, even Franz episode, right?
In the beginning.
I mean, all of it. Like, I feel like any time in the last couple of weeks that we've talked about Anthem, which has been a lot on Games Daily or on Gamescast, there's been a lot of blowback for the way that we're discussing it, whether it's calling us corporate shills or calling us like corporate apologists or all this. I'm just like, it's just weird to me because I feel like this is the same way we've always talked about the industry, where it's like, I feel like we do give both sides, and it's like, it's there's a lot of questioning of where we stand as influencers or press, or journalists or critics and all this stuff. And I feel like we are very upfront about where we stand in that.
Yeah.
And it's just a little surprising to me to see how many people feel betrayed, it seems, by saying, oh, the game's fun, so, you know, it's a $60 game, I'm having fun. If there's issues, but I'm having fun. And they feel like that's wrong, and that somehow you have changed how you've been speaking over the last 10 years.
I saw one of the comments on the video or the subreddit thread about it, right? Where it's like, I don't understand. They've always said vote with their wallets. And I'm like, well, right. But if I tell you to go vote in the election, I'm not telling you to vote for candidate A or B.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I am voting with my wallet, as I said on the Gamescast, right? Of like, I've had $60 worth of fun with Anthem, and I will continue to have $60 worth of fun with Anthem.
And it's
weird. And I would pay for it. And I, if you, and that, what I keep saying, right, is if you hear what I'm saying, mm-hmm. and you agree with me, maybe you would too. That's what I think, to Jeff's point, and so many other people who have written out. Again, this is, and now stick with me. I'm going to use a term here that is usually super negative. I don't mean in the super negative way. I mean in the normal way. Of just, it's a vocal minority of people who are like really, really, really so invested in how we talk about games that they're coming in and being angry about how we're talking about this game.
Yeah.
And so I think that the majority of people are still in the same camp of, well, I've listened to them forever. I know what Greg's saying. I know what this is. Yeah, in the same way that, like, the way I approached the Anthem review, both Fran's solo Anthem review on Gamescast mm-hmm. 2 weeks or 1 week ago, then the Anthem review update yesterday on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. As I was talking to somebody on the subreddit last night, which is totally buried because that's like so far mm-hmm. gone on that thread. It's like, well, I think you're taking my comments and saying that that's the whole review.
Yeah.
Whereas for me, if I was going to sit down and write a review of Anthem, it'd be far different than how I talk about Anthem on the shows.
Yep.
Because on the shows, it's three other perspectives of people who have played it, let alone that I really thought this most recent Gamescast was the update to Fran's review, now with second opinions from Andrew and myself, and Andy. That's not how second opinions work. I was going to say third opinion. That's not how it works.
Yeah.
But it was the fact that that's all adding to the one review that you've heard and done, and this is an ever-evolving conversation, and this is why we don't score things and why we don't do anything, because we are all pulling in each other's comments. And, like, you know, people gave you a lot of credit in the main subreddit post yesterday about, like, hey, man, it's like how Tim, you know, Fran knocked his Anthem review out of the park. I loved how Tim knocked his Kingdom Hearts 3 out of the park.
And that, to me, is the thing that, like, again, it comes down to communication, so I need to be careful to not get too riled up in a way that I normally do and wants to do. But I just feel like, again, because I can't talk about it as a them. It's not a them. There's thousands of people out there that each have their own ideas and own way of communicating on any of the social medias, right?
Yeah.
But to generalize for a second, like, I feel like forever I was the one where everyone's like, oh, we don't care about Tim's opinion, whatever. And it's like, I feel like right now, just because the other people have an opinion about a thing that they don't agree with, then now it's like, oh, well, I love Tim's review of Kingdom Hearts. It's like, did you? Because I got so much shit for Kingdom Hearts, my Kingdom Hearts review like 3 weeks ago, you know? And it's just,
but
like,
I get it, you know it as well as I do.
But I feel like this conversation is important because,
oh, yeah,
when we had the conversation on Gamescast about the Anthem review update topic that we did, like, there, Andrea brought up her thoughts on live games and the expectations of live games and how to review live games. And then there was a lot of thoughts about those thoughts of that I saw from people being like, well, I totally disagree. I think that live games should be reviewed when they first come out, and then they should be reviewed later. And it's like, we have talked many times, but I feel like we should explain it again, of just like, that's not how the major sites work, because it's, at the end of the day, it's not doing everything for clicks, but there has to be a level of clicks that make it worth
it. An audience, right?
And I guess clicks makes it sound,
clicks always sounds a like lot you're just shittier fishing, than right? I mean it.
Yeah.
You won't believe
is there an audience there? And it's like, there, unfortunately, hasn't been an audience for update reviews 2 years later or a year later of now that the DLC is all out. Is that all going to change now that so many games are focused on this live games as a service thing? I absolutely think so.
Well, I mean, you see an IGN and stuff like pivot to like, okay, it's a, God, I can never remember any of the Destiny fucking titles, but like Sea of Thieves or whatever. No, that's not bad. Fucking Destiny DLC 2 is a huge deal, so we're going to review that. And it's Destiny Sea of Thieves or whatever the fuck they call it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't bother your wrong me. I don't care. I'm making up fucking things, but that's how they do it,
we're
right?
We're at a point where games are changing. The way games are being talked about is changing. The games are being, the way games are being reviewed is changing. And it's going to take time for that to kind of hit a point of, oh, this makes sense in a way that, you know, we've kind of over the last couple decades had a 10-point scale, 20-point scale, 100-point scale. It doesn't matter. It's the same idea.
Sure.
Of there's a product and it's out and this is what it is and it's done and it's never looked at again. That's just not how games are made now. So eventually, and starting now, that's not how games can be talked about now. And I feel like that's where we have the advantage of not putting scores on things and are able to just talk about things as they go. But with that comes a lot of responsibility from us delivering the information and from listeners and viewers taking in the information. And I think this is the key of, I keep going back to, like, it's not just to us and them. There's a bunch of people. And I think the difference is we can't know everybody and their opinions,
right?
But we can know our opinions, and we need to be very, very linear in our thoughts, where it's like of who we are. And if we change our opinion on something, we need to explain that because it's like people are listening to us day in and day out. So it's like we need to be consistent in our voice, because that's what people are coming for.
Yeah. Right? And I hope we're doing that, right?
It's us having an opinion. And that's why when people are like, Greg, I can't believe that you're telling people to like, you're influencing people to buy this game, even if you're not telling them to, because it's $60 and like that's, it's not worth $60, whatever. I sat at this table knowing you, knowing Fran, and the way that you guys talked about the game, I was like, this isn't for me.
Yeah.
Right. Totally. Based on that conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and I think that that is the value there. Like, I hope this is making sense.
Here's the thing is, like, I think this is what we are right now. This conversation is what Kind of Funny is, right? Because it isn't us from the ivory tower preaching to the people. It's like, okay, cool. We saw everything yesterday, man. Yesterday and today, what a shitty time for me to be this busy. Because I would have loved to have been in all these threads and in the YouTube and I just haven't. I didn't get home till like 9:30 last night, and it was like, I looked at it, I was like, fuck, all right, well, I'm gonna respond to the top comment here, and like, I know it'll never be seen for the most part, but some people will. And it's like, this is what we get to do. We have a conversation with you. We're not making the content for you, we're making the content with you.
And I'm on a different end of that, where it's like, I had time to read through everything. I hate typing. I'm really bad at it. That is not my favorite form of communication. I'll sit in front of a video and talk forever.
Yeah,
right. So it's like, this is me trying to address the subreddit.
Oh, sure.
Me trying to address the Facebook. It's like, I see you, and again, I want to find the criticisms that we can actually act on.
Yeah. But and I mean, that's the thing is, like, and again, and I'm painting with a broad brush and everything here. We want your feedback, we want your criticisms and everything else. But I found it so not laughable or whatever, because I'm not trying to put anybody down, but like, so many people are just like, oh my god, and they're saying this, and then it's the other person saying this, and then it was like, what, a month ago, the Gamescast criticism was everybody agrees too much, and so here it is of like, well, no, we're not, clearly not agreeing with this. And then it was I'm not laughing at it, I'm laughing with you as best friends about it, of everything else. They're just like, yeah, you know, like, it wasn't a real review from Greg. If he would have just said he liked it, that's fine. But to say that he liked it, I was like, but I'm adding to Fran's thing. And I also said I liked Fran's thing. Do you want me to say all the stuff Fran's? And like, here's, I want to bring back to Jeff's question, right? Where Jeff was like, you know, everyone doesn't have to agree that art is good. If it's art, people aren't, blah, blah, blah. He's talking about video games as art, right? This is where I always hated the IGN, working at IGN, the IGN scale of, especially when we were 100 point scale. So it could be a 9.1, 9.2, 9.3, 9.4. You know what I mean?
Which it is now, I think, again.
When we were there, I lived through them all, baby. I lived it all. I went to the 20-point scale and then back to 100-point scale. But I hated the 100-point scale because video games aren't scientific, and art isn't scientific. And I can't stay there and like, oh, well, the fun is a blah, 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 and this is that, so I put it all together, and that means it nets out to this decimal point score. In the same way, though, and video games are art, I think we can all objectively look at video games like Anthem and be like, yeah, these load times. Why are there load screens? That's a bad design choice. I don't think that's, you know, for me, game breaking. I'm going to throw this away. Fuck you, EA. Fuck you, BioWare. Fuck you, Anthem. But I do sit, as I was checking my phone, whenever I finish the mission and it starts to load, I check Twitter and do this stuff. And I'm like, personally, I like that break. Not that I'm saying include this in games, do this fucking thing. But it's like, oh yeah, this sucks. This is stupid. Why is it like this? Right. And like, okay, yeah, like, you know, everything Fran's, you know, done at length, let alone in his awesome Anthem video review about like loot drops and all these different things. Again, high level, why he's really the reviewer on it, right? Like, I back to the Gamescast and the, you know, Fran's dueling reviews, and then me and Andrea and Andy coming in, right? In my head, if I'm putting all that into IGN terms, Fran is the guy who wrote the review for IGN, and I am on Podcast Beyond Game Scoop talking to him about it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not also reviewing it. Me putting another review on it doesn't mean it.
My man.
Nick Scarpino, everybody. Thank you. You're a son of a bitch. God, I hate you. You know what I mean? Just the worst. All right. It's a fun time making all this content.
It is, man.
And we want to make the best stuff we can for you. So, but
just keep adapting.
I do think this is how it is for us, right? It's like our reviews are what they are, where we're going to have discussions about them and come at them and change and update. And like, God, do I have some thoughts for you about Assassin's Creed?
Yeah.
Not that it's changing my opinion of that game, but like the end of DLC 2, and then I'm going to try to get DLC 3 knocked out, let alone Division next week.
Yeah.
Ooh-wee.
I've said this a couple days ago. I don't know, on some show. I think it was Gamescast, but like, we're not, Kind of Funny is not going to have a formal review process and like us putting numbers on games in an official way where it's like, this is what we stand by. This is us either recommending or not recommending a game to you officially as Kind of Funny.
Sure.
Until we have a big discussion about
building editorial
standards, building an editorial team, having a reviews editor. You know, and like, I don't know that that'll ever happen. I don't know that we want that to happen.
Is that who we are? Yeah.
And like, that's the thing is, I don't know, but like, what I'm saying is, I know that we're not that right now. Right. And like, I don't want to speak out of turn. Like, I don't know if you agree with that, but like, that's how I see this is like,
I think we've gone so far into uncharted territory and building. Like, I thought another, one of the comments that resonated with me, it might've been somebody responding to me on the subreddit last night was, but like Fran came at this review, like he worked at IGN and you guys came at it like you were Kind of Funny. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's who we are. Like, right. That's what we've gone here. If we were to bring in reviewer and all, or you know, and build out an editorial team and a review crew and all this stuff, I don't know if necessarily I'd be a part of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's the same thing at IGN, totally. Where I was once I started getting,
I would not be a part
once
of
they started selling me on advertisements at IGN, right? They moved me off of all sorts of stuff, and now here, what are you talking about? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's the same thing. Now, you might then say, then why do you call your things review? Well, we're reviewing them, but again, Kind of Funny is so small. I feel like, and maybe we overestimate how small we are, if that makes sense, in the way that I assume everybody gets it, that if we're calling a thing a review, it's our opinions on the game, right? Like, it's us bringing in the conversation of how we review, discuss things.
Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of criticism about the way that we title things when it is review. And I think a lot of that's based even on these conversations of like, well, if you're saying it's not a review, why are you putting that there? Which is very valid.
But it's not a review in the traditional sense. Me reviewing a game and saying what I think or don't like or don't like. You know what I mean?
Yeah, my answer to that is like, it is a review. It is not lying. Like, we are giving what Kind of Funny
calls. We all came away with recommendations.
That's what it
is. Andy, applauded and put on all of your shoulders for saying if you found $60 under a couch. What? That's a no, Andy. Just say
just
no.
Say no. My thing is just the YouTube algorithm and stuff. If we put review discussion, if we put review impressions, if we put anything like that,
I mean,
so many people will not click on it at all.
Sure. And you're thinking of the businessy side of it,
but
to an expense.
I feel like the businessy side is backed up by the content. It's just there needs to be an understanding of what a kind of funny review
is.
And that's what that is.
Yeah,
it's like,
exactly.
And that's
my thing.
There are less people upset about us saying it's review than there are people that are happy they clicked on it because they wouldn't have seen it otherwise.
Yeah. So. I fully stand by that the way we review games is how we have been doing it and how we will continue to do it in the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
Of it is us just talking about it. And so when it, like, you bet your fucking ass there's going to be a Division 2 review and it's going to be, it probably gets added to when Fran catches up to me because I'm going to fucking smoke his
and
ass.
And that's the thing too is like, it's very, very rare and I think that the timing is just like serendipitous of Frantham being a thing
this
right now
Frantham,
where it's like Fran reviewed Anthem in a way that like, I would review Smash Brothers. It's like that's his game.
That's his
game. You know what
I
mean? It's like if Patapon
don't get me started, boys.
You would get it or even Uncharted, right? It's like there's these franchises that I feel like and you can go back and watch us in our history. We review Uncharted in a way that is a bit more structured.
Oh yeah, yeah. Even God of War.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like that's the thing is I feel like there's such a wide chasm between what I would review at IGN and what I would play at IGN and what I would talk about on Gamescape and what I would put on a page, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's the same thing. I've said this, I will say this till the day I die. I would not be the guy to review Anthem.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm interested in games of service. Like, same thing, I wouldn't be the guy to review Destiny. Mm-hmm. Division, I might be. You know what I mean? But even then, I never went back to Division 1 and when they patched everything in there. So probably not. Like, all the real endgame stuff I'm getting into.
To be fair, though, neither did a reviewer from IGN. And I'm pulling that out of my ass. But, like, I don't think that the person that reviewed that game is going back to play all the DLC. They're onto something else.
Sure. But I think, like, you have people who are more anchored in games of service, right? And know what they're looking for. In the same way, I know what I'm looking for from a single-player narrative game. You know what I mean? Or what I'm looking for from a Borderlands multiplayer thing. Mm-hmm. Something to that effect.
Interesting stuff. Keep everything coming. I want to know how we can better ourselves and how we can...
And what you guys want from us. Yeah, I mean, I feel like the majority... let us know.
Let us know.
Up next, Game Informer's April cover has been revealed. It is Control. I'm going to read from their piece about it from Elise Favis. Control puts you in the shoes of Jessie Faden, a young woman who seeks to discover more about who she is while finding answers to questions she's had about the supernatural her entire life. Her search brings her to the Federal Bureau of Control, a government branch that heads paranormal investigations. Upon her arrival, however, an otherworldly threat has taken over the headquarters and threatens to possess or kill everything in its sight. As Jesse, it's up to you to harness control over this entity with everything you've got. During our cover story trip, we learned about Jesse's powerful abilities, such as levitation, launching almost anything with telekinesis, and seizing the minds of enemies so they work alongside her instead. We got hands-on impressions, a better understanding of the enigmatic astral plane, and the mysteries to be found in the ever-shifting headquarters of the Bureau, known as the Oldest House. It is a slow news day. But I can't wait for Control. Obviously, Remedy, you know what I mean? Max Payne, Quantum Break, a studio I love.
And so, Control looks dope.
Real dope.
Like, that's the thing is, I feel like they're like this one, I think, has the most appeal to the most people.
100%. Yeah, I do too. And obviously, it's helping, you know, being cross-platform. Mm-hmm. Max Payne way back in the day, PS2. And then But then Alan Wake was the Xbox standout that not everybody played and all this sort of stuff.
And Quantum Break as well.
Well, yeah, Quantum Break got a raw deal. If you see Quantum Break on sale, you buy it, all right? Even if you see it full price, buy it. That's a game I would say buy full price. Recommending Greg's review, backpacks out of apples.
Shout out to Game Informer for still doing the like cover stories and stuff. It's just great. I hope that never goes away.
I looked. You know what? Somebody write into You're Wrong and give me information on this. I had the Game Informer. Not yet. Hold on. Let me get the question. I had the Game Informer subscription thing through my Power Up Rewards, GameStop, whatever the hell card. Then apparently that ended because I haven't gotten one in a long time and I forgot all about it. I saw that there's now the iPad app and all that jazz. Do I buy it straight through the app, or do I have to subscribe somewhere? How does that work? Tell your grandpa Greg how he subscribes to the digital version of Game Informer. Thank you very much. Third and final story comes from Polygon. Here he is, Sonic the Hedgehog, in full live-action movie form.
Big Bear B-Money, can you bring this thing up?
Bear, we need to see it. This is Allegra Frank pulling it off. What was that?
Hold on.
What did you say to me?
Hold on.
Open the dock, Barrett. Kevin would already have the dock open, and he would be able to click on it. Bear! This is why.
Bear just shakes his head.
Shakes his little hat. Always wearing that little hat.
Shakes his little hat. It is a little hat.
Bear, do we need to pay you more to get full-size hats?
We'll work from home again tomorrow.
Show the kids this.
Yeah, you're not safe there, Barrett.
Tim, I'm going to read Allegra's work here. You can describe it afterwards. We've already seen the upcoming Hollywood film version of Sonic the Hedgehog's meaty legs, but now we might have the first full look at Sonic's live-action movie designs, thanks to an advertising agent's branding deck for Paramount Films. The company you don't care about leaked Sonic's film appearance by publishing its Sonic the Hedgehog style guide. The Post calls this a new, modern take on the brand without abandoning its core essence. And the brand development agency's deck seen below, shows off more of Hollywood's computer-generated Sonic than we've seen before, including the guide below. Sonic holding a ring, wagging his finger, and readying to run a lap or 5,000.
Mm-hmm.
How would you describe this Sonic the Hedgehog to people?
I mean, it's disturbing. Drucker.
Give a scroll. There's a full one down there.
Drucker said that he looks like a thing in a commercial for like diseases, like mucus and stuff.
Oh, geez. Okay.
You know, and he definitely does. Definitely does. I saw someone, I think it was Tom Marks on Twitter, was like, I'm going to try to fix this just a little bit. And all he did was add the white in between the eyes to make it the more classic Sonic eye look. And it actually helped a lot to make this look less creepy and weird. Now, here's the thing.
Yeah.
I know this is not going to be a popular opinion.
Yeah.
This doesn't concern me this much.
Okay.
Because Detective Pikachu.
Sure.
I talked a lot of shit going into that thing until we saw the trailer.
And had we just seen this key art of Pikachu, I might have been like, the fuck are they thinking?
Sure.
Right? We still need to see this in motion, in CG, going, doing everything. Thing. And the thing with Detective Pikachu is it looks awesome. They got Ryan Reynolds. They like you've heard me talk and gush about how excited I am about that movie.
Have. It was on Games Daily.
Sonic the Hedgehog, the writers are great. The voice is great. There's a lot of things going into it where like this could be good. This could be good.
Here's what I'll say is not a popular opinion either. I'm full of them apparently in 2019. Mm-hmm. I don't think this Sonic looks weird. It looks like, it's Sonic the Hedgehog if he was a CG fucking thing in a movie. Whatever. Like the white between his eyes is the problem we have? Who the fuck cares?
Blur Studios' Tim Miller and Jeff Fowler were hired in 2016 to develop the film. I mean, that's Blur's fucking dope. You know? Like, there's talent going into this. It's weird. It's really weird. And like, I feel like I am one of the biggest Sonic fans I know, so I feel like this should offend me more than it does. Do I love the look? No, I straight up don't. I wish it looked different, honestly. You know, like
what would you make different? Would you just make
the eyes definitely? I don't like that his hands are white. Like, wear gloves. That's a weird choice.
Okay,
you know, like there's just like a lot of weird little things. Just weird.
There's a lot of little things.
But I'm also
awesome,
happy
you know?
That he doesn't look like a fucking edgelord. You know,
okay, sure.
Like they didn't go for this like Sonic Adventure look. That's like super like, sup bitches.
I wish they leaned into that though, because now he just looks like a doofus.
But he is a doofus. That's the thing is like
you know, hedgehogs don't look like this, right?
My favorite, my favorite Sonic has been the like '90s cartoon Sonic, right? And like there was two '90s cartoons. I'm talking about the Saturday morning one, not the afternoon one.
Which one is this? The one with chili dogs?
There was a lot. They both had chili dogs.
Gotcha. Okay. Sorry. My apologies.
But yeah, it's like I don't like it when Sonic's this like fucking. I'm a cool ass extreme '90s kid. You know.
Yeah.
I like it more when he's just like he is the cool kid that's at school. But like in middle school, when he goes to high school, he's gonna get really teased. You know what I mean?
I guess I know what you're talking about. God bless us. When does this movie come out? Apparently.
Why can't I ask? November 8th.
Right around the corner.
Right around the corner, dude.
Hold on. Gird your loins. Sonic is coming. Tim, I can't wait to see what an abomination this Sonic movie is going to be.
You think?
I don't know. What the hell do I know about it?
I mean, again, there's a lot of signs pointing to be an abomination, but I point you to Exhibit A, Detective Pikachu.
I just say you're setting the bar way too high now if you're saying this is going to be like Detective Pikachu.
I mean, I get that Ryan Reynolds is like on a different level, but Ben Schwartz is awesome.
Who's Ben Schwartz?
Ben Schwartz is... Parks and Rec.
No, that doesn't
College
help me.
College humor.
It doesn't help me.
This guy.
Oh, that guy. Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah.
He's funny as hell.
Sure.
You know
who else is funny? Fucking Bill Murray. Was Garfield a good movie? Yes, it was.
No.
Will Sonic be as good as Garfield?
It will be better than Garfield.
Well, we'll have to wait to find out. I want something more immediate, though, Tim. Like, say what came to the mom and grop shops. Where should I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Small head Barrett. He's mad. Yeah. Out today, Unknown Fate on Switch. 12 is better than 6 on Switch. The Occupation on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. Left Alive on PlayStation 4 and PC. Eternity, The Last Unicorn on PS4 and PC. Beat Cop Motherfuckers! PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. If you ever wanted to see Nick and I dressed as cops, me really drunk, Beat Cop, but really just screaming at Kevin, go watch that Let's Play on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. How much of it was cut out? Oh, a lot. Like when the PR person came up and explained this blind date she went on the night before. Like,
oh my God, yeah.
Cut that out. That was the Snake Pass people. They weren't showing the game. We were playing Beat Cop. The Snake Pass people were just partying with us after GDC. And they just kept coming
See,
on.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is kind of funny.
Let me tell you.
Get used to it.
Here comes a review for you. Attack of the Earthlings is on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. RBI Baseball 2019 is on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Switch. Move or Die is on PlayStation 4. Pillar is on Switch. Bard's Gold Switch Edition is on Switch. Darkest Hunter is on Switch. Nano Driller is on PC. Spacebound is on PC. Seventh Sector is on PC. And then that Assassin's Creed Odyssey DLC 3 drops is out now. And then there's more Red Dead Online content. Including the return of a powerful weapon from the original Red Dead Redemption, the Evans Repeater, and a frantic new addition to the list of free roam events to experience as you move across the world, Fool's Gold. In addition, everyone will also get a package of useful items for playing this week. Then Mirror of Discovery for Star Trek Online on Xbox One and PlayStation 4 launches today. It's a Star Trek Discovery-themed update, pits Starfleet against Terran forces led by Captain Killy, who's actually voiced by Mary Wiseman. I know all of these references from watching Discovery, a fantastic show.
Yeah.
New dates for you. Paperbound Brawlers is on Switch March 8th.
That just makes me want Paperboy in Smash.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be a good one. Fenimore Fillmore, Three Skulls of the Toltecs Remaster is on PC on March 15th. Rico, the buddy cop shooter inspired by modern action cinema, is set to release on consoles next week. You can get it on March 12th on PlayStation 4, March 13th on Xbox One, March 14th on Nintendo Switch and PC. Overwhelm is then coming to Nintendo Switch on April 4th. Funny story about Overwhelm that I didn't know. Saw the little GIF today. It's a Switch game. You're shooting a bunch of shit. The press release just had a GIF of the gameplay. I was like, that looks cool. And there's a big button, request your code. I was like, that looks cool. Clicked it, and it emailed my wife's company. So she's working on that game, and I didn't realize it. So that's a take it with a grain of salt, but I wanted my code and did not realize Pop Agenda was on it. Deals of the day for you. You put these in there?
I did.
Good job, Bear Bear. Look at that. Ubisoft has a publisher sale in the U.S. PSN. This is via Wario 64. It includes Odyssey at $19.79 for PlayStation Plus. The Ezio Collection for $12.49 for PlayStation Plus. Origins for $14.99. Watch Dogs 2 for $8.99. Get fucking Watch Dogs 2. There's also a Square Enix publisher sale on the U.S. PSN. This includes Deus Ex Mankind Divided for $4.49. Holy shit. Final Fantasy 15 Royal Editions for $25 and Dragon Quest 11 Digital Editions of Light for $30. The other day I was walking to work, I think. Yeah, outside. Mm-hmm. And I was drinking my coffee and I was just like, "Do you remember when we hosted the Final Fantasy event?"
Dude,
what a weird weird life. I think
about that every once in a while and I'm just like, "How the fuck did that happen?"
It was just it's so bizarre. What a weird thing we did. Yeah. And it just happened and then it was over and then we're back to our lives.
Back to our lives.
Weird,
man.
Time for reader mail. But first, I'm going to tell you about our sponsors, Brooklinen and Headspace. Let's talk about Brooklinen. You spend a third of your life in the sheets and it's time for a bedding upgrade.
I'm trying to upgrade that. You know what I mean?
Have you not done it yet?
I'm trying to get it to at least half. But.
I see what you're doing. I love my Brooklinen sheets. You know this. I bought them. They were easy. I impressed Jen because, of course, you can go to the site, mix and match the colors. There's more than 20 of them. Get your things, your comforters, all this stuff. It looked great when it came home. Portillo loves laying in them and getting photos taken of them. Also, now they do towels and a whole bunch of other crap. So you can go get all sorts of cool Brooklinen stuff. Mm-hmm. Brooklinen sheets were named the winner of the best of online bedding category for good housekeeping. They were founded in 2014 by a husband and wife with the mission of making five-star hotel quality sheets more affordable and easy to order. Most bedding is marked up as much as 300%. My Brooklinen sheets are the best, most comfortable sheets I've ever slept on.
I agree.
Me too. I mean, they wrote it, and then I said it, and then you agree, and then I agreed it again, because that's not an original thought, but you know that I actually love these sheets.
I do, too.
All right, cool. Brooklinen.com is giving an exclusive offer to my listeners. Get $20 off in free shipping when you use promo code GAMES at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident in their product that all their sheets, comforters, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is use promo code GAMES at Brooklinen.com. That's Brooklinen.com. Promo code GAMES. Brooklinen. These really are the best sheets ever. Then it's Headspace. Headspace is your guide to health and happiness. In fact, just 10 days of Headspace has been proven to reduce stress and increase happiness. Here's what I'm going to do as I did last time.
Mm-hmm.
Deep breath and put on the soothing Greg voice. And
Barrett used this. I do this. Barrett used Headspace. What was your experience, Barrett?
In a soothing voice, please.
It was really great.
There it is.
And very easy to navigate. I need this kind of stuff to help myself go to sleep. And they have like very like specific things to like fall asleep to. Oh. So I listen to like rainy day like noises. Ooh. And stuff, and very calming speeches, and it's great.
It will teach you life-changing skills of meditation and mindfulness in just a few minutes a day. Of course, 10 days of Headspace increased happiness by 5%. 10 days reduced stress by 14%. Headspace has hundreds of meditation sessions on everything from stress to sleep. These are all sorts of things you need for a better night's rest and a more productive day. Start your journey towards a happier, healthier life by subscribing to Headspace. Sign up now at headspace.com/games to get a free trial month. Sign up online at headspace.com/games for a free month and trial and start meditating today.
What a great combo of sponsors.
You know what I mean?
Oh, sure.
You use some headspace. You fall asleep on your Brooklinen sheet.
Sure.
You wake up in the morning, brush your teeth with your Quip toothbrush.
Oh, my gosh. Well, now you're still on your MeUndies.
You know what I mean? Maybe listen to some Audible
then
on the way to work.
Then you get into your Ferrari.
Oh, my God.
I'm fishing for a Ferrari. Let's jump into Weissmark, who wrote into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, Happy Tuesday, guys. I just realized that Sekiro Shadows Die Twice comes out in just over 2 weeks on the 22nd. I haven't seen or heard much about it and was wondering what your hype level is for it. As a huge Infamous fan, I'm much more excited about Ghost of Tsushima, and the lack of marketing for Sekiro has me thinking, meh, maybe I'll get it eventually. Thanks for everything. Weissmark. Tim and I, that's not really on our radar, is it?
It's not on my radar, but like I'm interested. It's one of those games where if it reviews well,
yeah,
there's a higher chance that I'll play it.
I'm in the thing of, I know next to nothing about it, and so that's the thing too. If it comes out and people are like, dude, or it comes up on it even, right? Like people are like, dude, you got to play this. It's awesome. All right.
Because I'm not about the brutal, difficult games. Like the Souls games scare me.
Yeah.
You know, I've actually never given the Souls games a shot. But like playing Bloodborne or Neo, right? Like last year. Was that last year? It was 2 years ago. Jesus Christ.
Time goes fast.
Yeah. I played for a while, but I was just like, at some point, I'm just not good enough for it to be fun for me.
Yeah.
Because unless I committed myself to it, a la Cuphead. But I am a big fan of character action games like Bayonetta and Devil May Cry. This and Onimusha to an extent. I feel like this kind of looks more similar to that style in terms of pacing and speed. I just don't know about the difficulty level and all that. So we'll see where this all shakes out.
Barrett, this is on your list, right?
This is like an interested, kind of like the same reasons Tim listed. Because like it seems like a different pace than like the other like Souls and like Bloodborne, like Souls games and Bloodborne. Because I'm really bad at being slow and like methodical and stuff. And what they showed at E3 last year definitely seemed different. So I'm interested.
Okay, yeah, I'm interested in it because like Souls I tinkered. I'm never going to say I played, right? But it was like, meh. Bloodborne was closer to what I want. And like, so maybe if this is more of a great narrative and that thing, sure. I am excited for Ghost of Tsushima because, of course, open world Sucker Punch, that looks awesome. It looks like a samurai movie. But that's because I also think that's going to be more of a open world, third person action game rather than action adventure like Soulsy, right? Like, I don't know. Yeah, I need to see more.
I'm getting more of
Shadow
a Horizon game. Vibe from Ghost of Tsushima, at least gameplay wise.
Okay. Well, we'll stay tuned. Somebody eventually will play it, I'm sure, and be able to talk about it. Greeny writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, Hi Greg and Tim, I'm a mostly single player gamer who is suddenly interested in The Division 2. As a huge supporter of the game, Greg, do you think Division 2 is a game where I can enjoy all aspects without, I think is what he means, interfacing with other players? I watched gameplay where people were playing solo, but does it take away from the experience? Thanks for everything, you guys are the best. Greeny, I think you're doing yourself a disservice not to play The Division 2 with people. And I don't mean it in terms of... story-wise, you can go through, I'm sure, and play all of Division 1 or 2 by yourself. I know Colin did it with Division 1 that way. And Division 2, the beta I was playing, I was able to do it. And like you're leveling up, you're getting stronger. Then you know, so there are, you know, the gating of it. Of like, you go into this thing, you just get blown away or whatever. But for me, part of that game is how great it is to team up with people. I had such a great time on Sunday, when I put out a tweet of like, hey, I need help running the final mission here in the Division beta, which was endgame stuff, and found three best friends who were ready to play, jumped in with them, and it was just awesome to work together and just not even work together in terms of, you do this and you do this, flank that, blah, blah, blah. Like, we didn't really do that. We just ran around and bullshitted around and shot shit and had a good time. And, like, that's one of the reasons I'm so excited for Division 2 is I'm buying Poe a copyright.
Mm-hmm.
Fran's going to be playing. Scott Lowe's going to be playing. Brian Miggles is going to be playing. Like, I'm going to have a bunch of different people to squad with and just shoot the shit with, and then also be able to put out a thing of go play it together. I think these games do add so much to it, but then there are plenty of times from my Division 1 experience where I did just want to run around by myself. And even in the Division 2 beta, the only time I teamed up with anybody was the end game stuff. So the rest of it was me running around DC using photo mode, shooting things and stuff. I think you'd have fun with it. I think it is enhanced playing with other people. And I saw, I think it was on our subreddit, a question about like, somebody who was like, man, I want to play these kind of games, but I have social anxiety and I don't know how to get. Like, I really think if you've never played, for me, lots of times there are those things of like, man, I don't want to play with anybody. I don't want to talk with anybody. And that's why I kind of like Anthem, right? Is like, for the most part, unless it's me or I'm hitting up Andrew or Kevin or something, it's just me jumping into a random thing and nobody's using mics, so who fucking cares? when you do use mics, I would say definitely try if you're a socially anxious person, right? Because most of the time you get in there and it's not talking nonstop. It is as much as you want to engage or start a conversation. And oftentimes I'll be on these things, a four-player game where two people are really talking and two people are just chilling out, not really doing it. And you can just chime in here and there.
Hmm.
I you know, can't say enough nice things about The Division. I can't wait to talk about it on Gamescast. I can't wait to get it next week and really fucking dig in and never play anything again and be a completely waste of time for you on Gamescast. Final thing is going to come from Kenny Ballou. That's right.
Kenny Ballou.
Big Kenny's back on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, happy 400th episode.
Wow.
Today, Tuesday, March 5th is Mardi Gras here in New Orleans, but it is also your 400th episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily. What an awesome milestone. Congratulations. As I did for episodes 100, 200, and 300, I wanted to write in and congrats with some fun facts about the show. Edit as you did deem necessary. I edited a lot of it. You always give way too much, Kenny. I love you and you're amazing. Also, sorry to Andrea. She asked that I give you all a heads up on the 400th episode ahead of time, but I forgot. Whoops. Anyway, here it goes. Also, similar to the guy who put on the Kind of Funny subreddit, hey, yesterday I had it marked as Gary Whitta Day. What does that mean? And it was like, oh, well, you were supposed to remind Greg 2 days before then that it was Gary Whitta Day that day and he needed to do something. I was like, well, next year. There have been a total of 62 hosts of the show. Wow. For the regulars, the rankings are Greg with 300 shows, Tim with 144 shows, Andrea with 122 shows, Jared, rest in peace, with 65 shows, Gary with 56 shows, Danny O'Dwyer, also rest in peace, 23 shows, Fran with 11.
Only 23.
Andy with 10. That's a surprising number for me. I didn't realize it was that high for him.
Wow.
Most importantly, Pertillo has been on the show four times for the whole show, as well as a brief appearance on March 29th, 2018. So we'll call it 4.5 appearances. Greg and Andrea have co-hosted together 89 times. Greg and Tim, 80 times. Greg and Gary, 35 times. Greg and Jared, 29 times. Again, that Jared number seems so low. Some fun facts. Yesterday, March 4th, was Greg's 300th episode. That's over 75% of the shows that Greg has been on since the show began. Greg's longest consecutive streak was 25 shows in a row.
Wow. That's hella.
Right? Tim's longest consecutive streak was 6 shows, 3 times. Andrea's longest streak was 3 shows, 3 times. So you've done them 3 times. Speaking of streaks, Gary Whitta had a streak from January 2018 to March 2018 of 10 straight Whitta Wednesday appearances, his longest personal Whitta Wednesday streak.
That's fun.
Kenny, you gave me so much more than that. I encourage you to go post them all on the Kind of Funny subreddit. Those are amazing. Or Facebook group, wherever you like to interact with people. But those were all awesome. You're an awesome person. Thank you for keeping up. And thank you all for supporting this show for 400 episodes. What a goofy little milestone, you know?
Yeah, that's great, man.
Time to squad up! This is where one of you writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames with your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Today, Wiley needs help on PlayStation 4. PSN name is Wiley and Royster. It's going to be in the YouTube description. Go check it out there. Greg and Tim, please help me out. I'm a dad of 2 kids under the age of 4 and love my game time when I can get it. I'm looking for some Kind of Funny best friends to play with me and join up on Division 2 when it launches. I'm open to playing other games as well, but I can't wait for the Division launch. I play at night after bedtimes and get on around 10 p.m. Eastern. If you're a Kind of Funny best friend who wants to play and unwind with me, let's do it. Thanks for everything you guys do. PSN, Wiley and Royster. I'm going to spell it just because. Wiley and Royster.
Help him out, man.
Help
Squad
him
up.
Out. Tim?
Mm-hmm.
We ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screwed up. We had a great conversation today, so yeah. I was not updating as I went. So you not,
there's
now,
a lot here.
Now I'm wading into it. Nanobiologist reports that there's an update to fixing your PlayStation 4. It's from the Reddit post, do not select initialize. This option will completely wipe your hard drive. The option you want to have is rebuild database, which is what you said, I thought, in the Jason Schreier thing. So I think we're there. Stead Janot says Smash Ultimate and the Piranha Plant crashes were from memory. It was traced to dodgy micro SD cards rather than the game. Are you checking on this Windows Central one?
Yes, I am.
Is that what you highlighted? All right, yeah. Then I'm going to let that go. Nanobiologist says, I think a better comparison for the live game debate would be Rainbow Six Siege, where it delivers new content every 3 months and with new operators and fixes, while Destiny 2 expansions almost change the game and bring new features, making Destiny 2 a brand new game. Gradual changes are harder to judge than stark night and day updates. Correct.
So I'm seeing this corroborated by a bunch of different sites, okay. but it does seem like they're all kind of just referencing this Windows Central yeah. site. So don't know. Gonna read it anyway. The Xbox Maverick console will be named Xbox One S All Digital Edition. Pre-orders in April 2019.
It's a rumor right now, though?
Yes.
Okay.
First detailed by Brad Sams. Microsoft has been experimenting with the diskless, God, that's going to be hard to say, Xbox One S console codenamed Xbox Maverick, with a launch window thought to be around Q1 2019. According to sources, we now know a little bit more. General availability coming in early May 2019. It looks as though it could be near global simultaneous launch for almost all existing Xbox markets.
Okay. Well, this will probably be covered tomorrow, so don't worry. This is I want to cool. get that in the RUP report. Great. Don't worry about it. Dcash14 says, you said this yesterday, but I'm pretty sure AT&T's current unlimited plan is as good, if not better, priced than the grandfather plans from the early 2010s. Good to know. That's going to get me some tethering. I like that information. I can go to gameinformer.com/subscribe, apparently, to get on that. That's good. It's $12 or something. That's good. A lot of people are talking about the...
Turok is coming to Switch.
Turok is coming to Switch, says Andy offscreen. The Nintendo 64 one is coming there. Okay.
What?
Then a lot of people are repeating the same thing, which is fine. I don't mind that. Ooh. According to Zaire, Judgment is releasing on June 25th only on PlayStation 4.
Ooh.
And if you pre-order the digital version, you get it a few days early on June 21st. Hot damn, that's going to be a game. I'm very excited about that one. And then out today's from Fendi says, you forgot to mention The Witness and Call of Duty Modern Warfare Remastered are both out today for free on PlayStation Plus. Both excellent, critically acclaimed games. Thank you very much for keeping us honest on that. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Patreon.com/KindaFunnyGames. Watch it live. Twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames. Watch it later. YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames or RoosterTeeth.com. And of course, download it. Podcast services around the globe, all that jazz. Tomorrow, it's me and Gary Whitta. Then it's me and Andrea on Thursday. Then it's me and Tim on Friday. Up next, if you're watching live, we're doing the final in review for Fast and the Furious franchise.
Fate of the Furious.
Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.